Welcome to the Hard Water Fishing Show. Jeff and Jason talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends.
Welcome back to the Hard Water Fishing Show. We are alive. Season 3, Episode 4. It is the first week of December 2019. Today, our topic is ice auger machines. I am super excited. We had Drake on for ice auger machines, and he tells us the whole story about how they got started and what this machine does, which is super cool. So we'll have more details in the interview.
I'm super excited. Can we do it now, or do we have to wait?
You have to wait.
Gosh, I hate waiting.
Oh, I know, but guess what happens next?
What?
We open our beers.
Oh, see, that's why we're doing it this way, because then I can, I'm distracted. I don't get ahead on the topic. Sounds good. So what are you drinking tonight, Jeff?
Tonight, we have Oudipol's.
Oudipol's? What the heck?
Oudipol's European-style brewing, Bavarian-style Hefeweizen.
What?
It is called Ewald the Golden Bavarian Style Hefeweizen.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
So actually...
Someone leave it in your fridge?
Oudipol's is actually really popular in St. Paul or in the Twin Cities here. I actually know somebody that knows... I know somebody who knows somebody who works at the brewery.
Huh.
It says, Oudipol's Brewing classic European-style lagers and ales in Minneapolis on the banks of the Bassett Creek since 2017.
So a whole 2 years.
And there's a story about Ewald the Golden. Over 1,000 years ago.
I want to open my beer.
No, you got to listen. Wait. Over 1,000 years ago, the sainted brothers Wald sought to enlighten the Germans. Today, our brewmaster, affectionately nicknamed Ewald, aims to share the joy of delicious Bavarian wheat beer with you.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready to open it?
I'm ready for you to open it so I can move on with my own.
There you go.
All right. Well done, Jeff. Well done. I didn't know this was turning into a beer show, but it kind of has.
What are you drinking,
Well,
Jay?
I'm going to tell you some facts about what I'm drinking tonight. It was established in 1903. Do you know what I'm talking about? This has another name.
So are we back to the
No. The
standard?
No. This has another name. And it's called the Champagne of Beers.
Oh,
I have a Miller, High Life. And not only do I have a Miller High Life this evening, I have a pound. No, it's a 24 ounce Miller High Life.
What?
I didn't feel like buying a whole six pack of it. So I just bought the big can at the local gas station. So here we go. So if things get sideways by the end of the show, you all know what happened. It was a 24 ounce beer.
Ooh, that sounded good.
Well, it's champagne, man.
So I'm thinking we have like polar opposites of beers. You have a gas station 24 ounce beer.
Yes, I do.
And I have a craft brewed on the bluffs of Minneapolis.
Yeah, beer. I think mine was $1.50 for the 24 ounce can.
You're lucky that in Iowa they don't have 3-2 beer. Like
no,
we do
they
up
don't.
Here in Minnesota.
They don't. You can buy whatever you want down here.
All right, moving on from the beer show.
Yeah.
So you can find our podcast, The Hard Water Fishing Show, pretty much anywhere that podcast can be found. Spotify, I use Pocket Cast on my Android app or phone. Jason, where have you recently found the podcast?
I found this on Google Home over the weekend. My mother-in-law's got one of them Google Home deals. And I just said, okay, Google, play Hard Water Fishing Show. So what our listeners can do for us is when they're by somebody that has an Android phone, they should just say that and then randomly start playing the Hard Water Fishing Show on everybody's phones. Like if you ride a train or a bus or whatever, that'd be a hoot.
That would be awesome. just blast it in the bus on your way to the work.
Yeah, just loudly shout out, okay, Google, play Hard Water Fishing Show, and then sit back down and see what happens. Or Siri. Okay, Siri. I mean, just do those things. I think everybody's got that stuff enabled, and it starts going.
That would be funny. Try it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I don't have a bus, so I can't. So I want to hear what happens. So let me know.
So I did find out this week from Dave that our podcast can be listened to in a sauna.
That's great.
If you need to.
That's great. Send us pictures of that. Do not, yes. Please. Yeah, yes. Don't do that.
Don't do it.
You can email us at hardwatershow@gmail.com, right?
Yep.
And we have a website, hardwatershow.com.
Yep.
Instagram, Facebook. Let's see. We read all the stuff we get and respond to a lot of it. Let's see.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I will say that we actually sold a couple t-shirts this week, Jay, on our merch.
Did we really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they had a 60% off deal going for Cyber Monday. I think it's over now, but it was a pretty good deal. So I actually ordered a couple new shirts too.
Maybe
so.
It was just us, because I ordered a sweatshirt.
It could be just
and
us.
And what I would say though, and I want to give a shout out to Redbubble on this, because I ordered a 2XL. Okay. And I'm a XL kind of guy.
Yep.
But not a 2XL. 2XL is just, I want something a little roomier. I will not post a picture of me in that sweatshirt. It is like a skin, and it's a 2XL. And so I got the lightweight sweatshirt, and I emailed them, and I said, hey, this thing is not sized correctly, even though the tag said 2XL. And they refunded my money and told me to keep the sweatshirt.
Oh, well, I just ordered a 2XL too, so now I'm scared.
I think it'll fit you. I think it'll fit you. You're a little more diminutive of a person.
Uh-oh. Use kind words, please.
I think you'll be fine. So anyway, yeah, we better move on. Let's see, we're over 24,000 downloads, which is really cool.
Yeah, we're just about 25,000 when I looked before the show.
That's awesome.
Should we move on to kind of fishing report, reader news?
We should. Yeah, let's do that.
We got a lot of snow this last weekend, which led to me not going fishing, which was kind of sad.
Yeah, you had promised Tales of Glory from Red Lake, and what did you end up doing instead?
Reading the instructions on my ice fishing shack I bought.
Well, that's better than nothing. At least it was fishing related.
Yeah, but it just, the roads are too bad. It's a four-hour drive from my house, and with the snow and stuff, it could have been a lot longer. So unfortunately, I had to make the decision to stay home.
So on Saturday, I did get out in the water, not on the water. So I can confirm that the swamps in Iowa are not yet frozen, and that unknowing my younger brother, who was insistent there may be pheasants in this particular area, was wrong. And I don't think pheasants live in water that's up to your knees. So I think we were looking for the wrong bird habitat this weekend on Saturday, and it was not frozen. There was no ice. None. Zero. Zip.
The unfortunate part about all that snow we got up here, like the Red Door Resort up in Mille Lacs, they said they got 16 inches of snow. Ugh. And unfortunately, on Mille Lacs, there was just enough ice on there to support that 16 inches of snow. So it's blanketing the warm the ice.
We'd
right
almost
now.
Be better off if it just warmed up to 60 and melted everything and started over. You know,
yeah, they did say they expect, though, around Christmas time we should be good. So, I mean, the lake is locked up, like Mille Lacs is locked up. Okay. Just the ice is not very thick.
Oof, that's hot, tough. It's going to be a slush year, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess.
I didn't really see a lot of other fishing reports. Red Lake seems to be the place to be. That's the only place I'm seeing action, really. I think even up by where we were, like almost a month ago now that we were ice fishing, which is crazy. I think up there they got 2 feet of snow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way you could be out on that lake right now. I wouldn't.
Somehow we made a month ago we were on the ice and really haven't had good ice since then.
I know, so. It just teased us. And then like we got all excited and then nope.
We have a couple of questions from our from Facebook. I usually kind of put something out there, asking for some questions, because I always like to hear from our listeners.
Can I preface this question section with something?
Yes.
And yes. Because we've talked about this, that, you know, as most of you know that are listeners, but this is more for new people, we are not experts in anything. I'm not. We're just a couple of guys that like talk about ice fishing. We're learning with you guys about different topics. Beware, the information you get may be somewhat accurate, but it's about as accurate as sitting down at the bar with a couple of guys and saying, well, what do you think about this? Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're not. But we're always going to have fun talking about it. So I just, you know, this isn't an expert show. We try to present good information as two regular guys see it. But there's plenty of expert shows out there on the internet, you know, and if you're looking for 100% expert advice, I would look them up. Otherwise, gosh, we sure love having you.
There are things that I've used, like my 40-volt, you know, auger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've used it. I like it. You know, I mean, those kind of things. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, a guy with an electric auger is kind of like a vegan. They're going to let you know.
Or a guy with a Prius.
That too. Well played.
Jacob wrote in and he just asked for general tips for new anglers.
I guess my opinion on that is, you know, you can get overwhelmed with everybody telling you all this stuff you need. The nice thing about ice fishing is you can really, really boil it down to basics. You just need a stick, some line. You don't even really need a fishing pole, really. You could just use line and a bobber yep. and a piece of string and wrap it around a chunk of wood you found on the way down to the lake. I mean, you can really... Okay, so
that's going extreme.
Oh, but you can really take this down to the basics, right? So yeah, you can get the $10, $15 ice fishing rod from Walmart and a couple of jigs and some waxies and go fishing.
Yeah, that seems more reasonable than a stick and some line.
Well, you know, I mean, really, that's what this where this started, right? It didn't start with these high dollar rods, and they're truly not a necessity when you start out to enjoy the sport and do the things. I think if you're going to spend money on any piece of gear for this sport, though, it's the flash or the sonar.
Absolutely.
That has to be it. Once you go from, you know, once you progress past the stick and a piece of line, save your money for a flasher or a sonar or something to tell you what's under the ice. That's where I would start.
And this might be like up here more than me, but you can probably get away with, if you're really new, like this is the first time and you just don't know if you're going to be into ice fishing, you can get a hand auger, but you know, that's going to work for the first two times you go out. In February, when you're drilling through 3 feet of ice with a hand auger, you're going to want a power auger of some sort.
Well, I would agree, but I also would disagree that there, again, if you're brand new and you're just kind of feeling your way out on this, if you go to a popular lake on a weekend, you could fish people's holes that they have left pretty successfully and never have an auger. I watch people do that at some of the lakes around me, where they'll, especially a couple old guys, and they'll just have a hammer, and they'll go around to the, you know, especially when it hasn't been super cold day after super cold day, everybody's holes from the day before, they open up, back up with a hammer and fish. They never even carry an auger with them, just a hammer. And they catch fish.
You can go extreme. You could go out there with a stick and
a stick and a hammer and some waxies.
And you could do it.
Or a hot
dog. But I would say if you're just trying it out, I would get at least a hand auger. I would recommend a power one. You can buy gas power augers for like a little over $100 now on used.
You can. Yeah.
And you can get a flasher for a couple $100. My favorite introductory one would be the Showdown.
Because
you can buy them for like $100-$150 and they're going to do what you need to do.
I would start with targeting panfish.
Yes.
And you know, so those weedier lakes, and I would kind of follow the crowds and fish for panfish. And that's going to be the simple. Don't start off fishing for walleyes if you've never done it. You're going to just go to knitting or something soon.
Yeah. Don't start out on Lake of the Woods walking out and trying to go that way. That might be hard.
Or a resort. I mean, you could do one of those fishing resorts. That's kind of a good way to get your feet.
Oh.
To not get your feet wet, but get your feet wet, so to speak.
Yes, I agree. Because they bring you out there. You can go out there in a t-shirt and jeans, and they drive you out to your shack and give you minnows. And
you know,
you do need a rod.
And the other thing I would say is, you know, Facebook, even though I hate it, I love it, right? It's one of those deals.
Yep.
You know, has forums dedicated to fishing all over. So you can use that to connect with people and say, hey, you know, I'm new to this. Is anyone going to be at this lake at this time that I can meet up with and they can maybe show me a few things?
Sure.
So I think fishermen in general and ice fishermen specifically and women, I think are more than willing typically to help new people out.
Absolutely.
And if they're not, Absolutely. Let us know who they are. When you ask them, if they say no and tell you to go away, tell us who they are and we'll shame them for you. Can we do that? Okay. Maybe we won't. I don't know. We may or may not.
We may or may not. I will tell you, and then we'll move on here, but I will tell you that when we were out in North Dakota at Devil's Lake, I have never met nicer people for ice fishing.
They were,
that were willing to help.
Great people. Great people. Yep, I would agree.
That was just awesome. It's a little tangent, but anyways, new anglers, that's what I would recommend. Next, Tev asked, how do you store your fish if you're going to keep them on the ice?
So I would take all your northerns and put them in a bucket and let them freeze solid.
Yeah, and then give them to Jeff to clean.
No, don't do that. Whatever you do, don't do that. And oh my God, it's so bad.
Yeah, no. So what I would recommend, I think the system that we use where you have the 5-gallon bucket with some water in it, mm-hmm. and then you put the fish in the water so it doesn't freeze solid.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people use snow too to some effect, but I think the water works the best. You know, with a top, with a lid that seals on the top of the 5-gallon bucket.
Yep, yep.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I really would.
The way to not go is throw it on the ice, have it freeze solid, and then you get home and you have to wait for 8 hours for them to thaw back out.
Yeah, you don't want to do that at all.
No, that's kind of a pain. So I think that's the way to do it. I mean, I know there's some other gadgets and stuff out there. Maybe they're better, but we found 5-gallon bucket with that top seal, that watertight seal. It like screws on.
Yep.
Put your fish in there and they don't spill out and then they're not frozen solid.
Okay. That sounds good.
So Jay, we wanted to talk a little bit. We're going to be going to the ice fishing, the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, the big show this weekend, right?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm super excited for this.
Yeah, and you're coming up, and
I am?
We will be there. And we have, I think we've made it because we got media passes.
I know. and our business card showed up in the mail the other day. So we even have business cards. So we'll look like legitimate.
We will look legitimate. That is awesome.
And really, we're just there to watch the vendors and look at stuff. But
yeah,
we are going to try to locate some folks that'll be willing to talk to us and maybe do some mini interviews. So we'll see how that goes. We're not making any promises on the interview part.
Yep. But we know Drake from Ice Auger Machines, he's going to be there with a machine with an electric thing. So that'll be cool.
We'll have to try to do selfies with people.
For sure.
Or whatever you call them.
Right.
Take a picture with people.
Yeah.
A portrait.
Yeah. We did talk about maybe doing a live stream depending on how it goes.
Oh, yeah. We could do a couple of those. Yeah. On Facebook, the Facebook Live deals. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We should do that.
So I wanted to touch on just maybe a couple things. There's 196 exhibitors there. We won't talk about all of them, but just a couple things that caught my eye. You know, one of the things is the battery tech seems to be a big deal. There's a lot of different vendors there with either battery boxes or lithium batteries. So I'm curious to see what that seems to be an area of innovation around fishing right now.
I'm looking forward to seeing those because I've looked at them online and I just don't quite get it yet. So maybe when I look at them in person, I'll be like, oh, this is why you need one of these because I'm not there yet.
I'm with you. Yeah, it seems like another thing to put in and weigh you down, but maybe not.
Because I don't understand, I just don't get it. Like, is that separate from the battery on my flasher? Do I have to wire that thing? How do I drag that around on the ice? I don't know. So I don't get it. So I'm going to look at those.
I was interested in, there's a booth, Women Anglers of Minnesota. But there are women out there that are ice fishing, and so I'm kind of curious to go talk to them, and maybe we can get an interview of somebody from Women Anglers of Minnesota.
Yeah, that's going to be, I look forward to meeting some of those folks as well. I know on Instagram there's some gals that are really successful with their fishing and do some guiding and this and that. So, you know, we both have daughters, and I know my daughter loves to fish, so... Boy, you know, I never thought maybe I should give her career advice to go out and be a fishing guide. And then she could guide me fishing, which
that'd be awesome.
Might be an improvement.
My daughter actually likes to fish more than my son does. So yeah, totally.
Very cool.
The other one I was going to touch on was Blue Ribbon Bait. It's a nice bait shop, but the cool thing is this was the bait shop that was by my house when I grew up that we would go there.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So it's been there a long, long time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we used to buy our Christmas trees from this place in the winter, and they, you know, if I went fishing on Tanner's Lake by my house, that's where we go to the bait shop, and at this bait shop is where I saw my first Vexilar. This was in the 80s. I mean, this was like the first, I'm sure it wasn't the first one ever, but the first one I ever saw. I mean, I was quite young and looking at this, I don't remember how much it cost, but well out of my reach. I was fishing with sticks and
a hammer,
drums, right?
And a hammer.
Yeah, I didn't have a hammer. I had a hand auger. But anyways, so I'm excited to check that out just because of the memories from when I was a kid.
Very cool.
So I don't know if you had anything you saw there, Jay, that you're interested in.
I'm kind of wanting to look at some of the displays of the new fishing gadgets, tip-up stuff, all of it. The fishing rods,
all of it, just everything.
I want to look at them all. I mean, I really do.
Okay. Did you see that thing called the bait crate?
Yeah, that looks pretty cool.
I don't know. I guess it's square versus round, I think, so that was made it interesting. But it looked cool. It looked very well made. So bait buckets are always something that I think we need more innovation in.
I put one on my Christmas list, so we'll have to see if maybe I have to make that change after I look at the bait crate.
Cool.
The Amped Outdoors, I think that's that... kind of those battery box deals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. There's a lot of power, a lot of battery power tech stuff there. Oh, and of course, Cutco knives and My Pillow.
They're everywhere. There's that Gullick bait, Gullick Bait Company? And I think they make Gullick's and Bait Company. I think they make that beaver tail bait.
Oh,
so I kind of wanted to talk to them a little bit, too, to kind of see a little bit more about that product. You know, I brought some of that out to Devils and had no luck with it. So I don't know if I did it right. So I'm going to talk to them because some people seem to really like it. So I did want to meet with them. Snow Dog, I think they're going to be there.
Yeah, those things are cool.
That's kind of an interesting concept along with that ice auger machine.
Yep.
Deal. It's kind of that downsize from a snowmobile, a little bit more portable as far as dragging it around. So I definitely want to take a look at that as well.
And there's a bunch of good seminars from all the ice fishing master. There's something called the Ice Fishing Masters course. And I thought, man, maybe I need to get my bachelor's first. But maybe I already have a BS in ice fishing.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. So yeah, they have some seminars. So I don't know if we can we use our media pass? I suppose once we're through the door, we're good to go.
Yeah, they're free. They're free.
Yeah, so we should try to hit one of those.
Yeah,
like absolutely. I'm looking at on Sunday and Saturday. So 5 o'clock on Sunday is your Jason Mitchell's doing an improve your ice walleye game.
Yeah,
and we could do it on Saturday and on Sunday so that we would retain the information.
Yes, we could have a review. Maybe there's a quiz.
I hope there's not a quiz. Oh God. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I haven't done a lot of seminars when I go to fishing shows, but I have done some. I always get some stuff out of it. It's just interesting to hear them folks talk. I don't know about this one, but like when you go to the smaller shops and stuff and they do some of this stuff, them guys are so approachable and gals are so approachable about talking to them afterwards if you have specific questions. So, I don't know if that'll happen here or not, but most of them are pretty nice people. So
yeah, I found the same thing. Yeah, it'll be packed there, so it might be hard to get their ear at this one, But yeah, I do find that they are willing to help and give you tips and that kind of stuff. Jason, should we move on to the interview?
Yeah. Yeah, people are probably wondering if we forgot about it.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to Drake at Ice Auger Machines. We had a really good interview, and we'll go ahead and play that.
This is the Hard Water Fishing Show with Jeff and Jason.
Jeff and Jason.
Today, we have a special guest, Drake, from Ice Auger Machines, and he is going to tell us about his ice auger machine. So, Drake, thanks for joining the show.
Appreciate you guys having me on today.
Yeah, it's been really great to have you on, and we always love talking about new, interesting gear out in the ice fishing world, so we're excited to hear about these ice fishing machines. Could you just start out and just tell us a little bit about the ice auger machine that you have created?
I'm one of the partners in Ice Auger Machines. And really what our machine is essentially think of like a little go-kart that is powered by your auger motor that is out drilling your holes. That's the motor's used as the motor for the machine, but it's also mounted so that it is your handlebars to steal your front tires or your skis. The machine is only about 30 inches long and about 24 inches wide, weighs about 100 pounds fully assembled. When you take the tires off and the motor off, it's about 50 pounds. So it's nice and light, portable. It does about 9 miles per hour. It's going to have a fully welded steel frame. And it's just a great all-around little machine to really get you out onto the ice, especially early ice with its nice small size and weight. But it's also one that stores really well, you know, during the non-ice fishing season. So we're pretty excited about all those nice little features.
That'd fit in the back of the wife's Prius.
You know, so I picked up my prototype. My partner lives in Green Bay, or De Pere, Green Bay, and I drove it back in my car about 6.5 hours to Des Moines. So took the tires off and it lays right in the back of my car.
I like awesome. Jason, how you have to work in that Prius angle. It's been a theme lately.
It has been a theme. Yeah. Yeah. It'll, we'll talk more about that later. So Drake, is this, how'd you guys come up with this idea? Where'd this thing come from? It's an interesting concept to use the auger for another purpose other than just drilling holes or the ill-advised drilling post holes.
That's right. Yeah. So really, my partner, Adam, he's the designer in all this. And he came up with this idea while fishing, out in the bay in Green Bay. And really it came to him. The story he likes to tell is he's out in the bay about 2 miles out, and it's, you know, it's one of those days. It's windy. It's not a beautiful day out. Freak storm pops up and he's out there. He walked out there and, you know, he's like, oh, I can beat it out, sit in my shack, fish for a couple hours, and sort of turns out to a unexpected blizzard. And so he's on 4 or 5 inches of pretty sketchy ice. He's chipping his way out there, and he goes, man, there's got to be a better way to get me back to my truck and to get out to the spot safer with the stuff I already had taken with me. And he kind of looked back at his sled that he's pulling as he's slipping on the ice, and he goes, how can I use that motor to get me back? So the whole idea came from, well, I have this motor. There's got to be some way I can use it to get back to my truck, get me back, get me out on the ice quicker. Because the walk back, he said, you know, fighting 30, 40 mile an hour winds on sheer ice. He said it took him about an hour to do 2 miles. Well, that's pretty dangerous. So that night he went back and he started kind of prototyping this out. And so the original prototype is actually our Predator 1500 model. I think we have some pictures on our website. But it was just an old Jiffy auger that he had, kind of the same frame, just built out of plywood, and then a belt that ran to the back tires. And he sat on a couple of milk crates. So right, he said his line is, I got 25 feet down my road and I knew that it was possible to make this thing work. And so he started developing a better model.
So have you used these with like any of the propane models, or is this all the gas model or electric, or what models work with this?
Yeah. So right now we've designed around the new Jiffy augers, but we also have casings for the old HT and some of the Eskimo. We've made adapters to fit those. Our goal in the future is to look to make sure that it's compatible with everything. But really they work with all models. We can get them to fit. But the idea is you probably want to live in that 52 or up CC motor just to get some of the power and functionality out of the motor. I believe there are some 52 CC propane motors out there. I'm not 100% sure. One, the electric has always been kind of a contentious piece because a lot of people think, well, they maybe don't have the same power. But Jiffy's new E6 Lightning, actually, we've tested it on that, and that sucker's awesome. That's a whole nother possibility for us. But typically we say gas, 52 CC, something like that.
This sounds like an awesome thing. And I've seen some videos, and I mean, I've seen this hooked up to a snowmobile trailer once on a video on YouTube. And so those are some pretty big things. So it's really cool. But one thing that comes to my mind, and, you know, Jason, I kind of think about this too, is, you know, a few years ago we had this idea for the podcast, and, you know, I mean, I don't think I can even compare it to the same thing, but, you know, going from just kind of a concept into the market, it's got to be a hard thing. I know we all have really good ideas, but, you know, implementing those ideas can be the challenge. So, you know, what are some of those challenges that you run into?
Yeah, so this is really where I came into the business. We haven't really probably made this story public. Adam, who is the original owner, he has really been kind of the face of the company. But as he was getting this thing rolling, you know, he's the guy that designs it. he builds all the models, controls development, all those types of things. He was really having a tough time of how do we take this thing to market. So that's kind of where I came in. Adam had done a great job with running some Facebook stuff, but the business side, he needed some help with. I'm a CPA by trade, so I handle businesses all the time. We also needed just some capital into the company. He had taken a few prototypes, and we'd gained some recognition online, but we weren't quite there. So that's kind of where I came in to help build the Facebook page and to take that next kind of leap from, hey, we've done this thing, people kind of know about us, here's where we're going to start taking it to market. Also, we've gotten in touch with Jiffy. They've been absolute treats for us. They've been fantastic. They've kind of taken us under their wing a little bit. Tim over there at Jiffy has been a great dude to work with, and they're bringing us to the St. Paul Ice Show with them this coming week. So that was kind of a big step for us too, to get some of those types of people kind of in our corner and kind of batting for us. Now we just said, hey, if we're going to do this, let's go all at it. We're done talking about it. We're done having long phone calls at night, planning about it. Sometimes you just got to jump in and do it. So that's where we're at this year. We're really going for it. We're excited.
Cool. Well, I know we're excited. Jason and I will be at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, so we're really excited to see you in person there and hopefully see one of these ice auger machines in person there too.
You guys should use those to run around the show on.
We're planning on it. We're going to have their E6 Lightning hooked up to it, so there's going to be no exhaust fumes, so you can ride around it.
That's awesome. Keep Jeff off that thing then. I did want to mention just for our listeners too that we're just interviewing you because we think it's interesting and we think it's interesting to our listeners. We're not in any way receiving any sort of financial contribution from doing this. We're just doing it because we think it's interesting. And, you know, we don't have any stake in whether or not this is a good product or a bad product. It's just really interesting for everybody to hear about how it happened. So I did want to throw that out there so people hear that part.
And from a guy that loves ice fishing, that's not even thinking about being an owner in a company that does ice fishing. I mean, that's what this is all about, right? I mean, this is a cool sport. We're all out here to kind of make it better. So it's fun to be able to talk about different things and to just kind of enhance the whole sport overall. So I'm excited to be on you guys' show today. It's been kind of looking forward to this.
If I wanted to, other than the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, which next week there'll be lots of people there, where else could you see one of these, or kind of, you know, where would you buy one of these from if you were really interested?
Yeah, so we have a website. We actually newly rebuilt this website just this year to be better catered for our customers. So on there, we have 6 different packages, all the way from our base model, which is just the machine, no auger, all the way up to the full package model, which is the machine, a new Jiffy Model 30 auger, a new auger motor, and then also a ski attachment, and kind of all the combinations in between to get to that. So on our page, iceaugermachines.com, we also are very active on our Facebook page. I try to get a few posts on there a week, and that's Ice Auger Machines on Facebook. We also have a few videos on YouTube, and that would be, again, Ice Auger Machines. And then as we continue to grow, our goal is to potentially get into some different stores to begin to have products there. Right now, we're really retailing out of our houses as we're growing the business, but that is going to be some of our next approach to get to that level.
What's your favorite species to target?
So I grew up in Iowa. I grew up in Northwest Iowa. The big lake up there is Okoboji and Spirit Lake. And they got some really nice bluegill and perch up there. Great and fishing. I love fishing with a camera. Catching nice big bluegill on a camera makes me a pretty happy guy. I love doing that. And then good walleye. Good walleyes never makes a guy sad fishing. So
for sure. I know we might need you to show us how to use those cameras. Jason and I don't have one, and we've talked about them, but I've used one a little bit, but we might need your help on that one a little bit. Dude,
I don't fish a spot until I drop a camera down first to make sure there's good coverage. Oh, is there rock piles? Or I don't do any of that. The camera always goes, I get limited time as a CPA to go ice fishing, so I want to maximize it as much as possible, and I'm going to get on the best spots I possibly can get on. So I love that little camera.
So you would say that, like, if I was going to pitch this to my wife, that a camera is probably a need, not a want.
I would definitely say.
Okay. I got accused. I'm gonna let her know you said that.
I got accused of my wife today saying, "You guys just talk about all the stuff you want to buy." I'm like, "No, we don't." I said, "It's just early ice season. We'll talk about fishing too."
Yeah, yeah. Now we're just getting ready phase. So
yes, for sure.
I was just telling my wife that I wanted those new 1 pound refillable propane tanks. That's what I wanted for Christmas. Those things look pretty cool. But yeah, that all ties back into we're talking about ice, and I'm ready to go. But down in Des Moines, we don't have any shot at ice for a while. So
yeah, it kind of teased us. We got really cold, and then it got kind of warm, and it's. We haven't had any ice yet here either. So,
Drake, do you have any parting thoughts for us?
Come say hi to us at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. We'd love to kind of let some people really get a feel for our machine. It's going to be there. We're going to have the prototype that's in blue and then our black one that is going to be the new featured model. Come sit on them. Come check us out. Come ask us questions. We're more than likely to or more than willing to answer and let you see and you know, we're just really excited to get our product out there for more people to see, really taking this concept to reality. We're really excited. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a fun journey. And go out and get ready for some ice fishing.
All right. That sounds awesome.
All right. Thanks, Drake. Thanks for being on the show. And we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This is the Hard Water Fishing Show with Jeff and Jason.
Jeff and Jason.
Great. That was awesome hearing from Drake. We look forward to seeing him at the Ice Fishing Show.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You always put that face with the voice and the name and everything. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hopefully when people, if I ever met somebody from our podcast, that they wouldn't go, "Whoa, I didn't expect you to look like that."
Well, I think you updated our Facebook site with our picture on there.
Yeah.
Now.
What do you think?
I think
of that?
That's great. That's us right there, right there. So very good. Well done.
Yeah. Well done. That was at Devil's Lake last year.
Yeah, so exactly.
Yeah. My eyes were like burning because we were looking in the sun. Always. That's why I looked like, oh, that was so rough.
Absolutely. So next time we're going to talk about fish locating tactics, how to find fish with flasher and a map.
Yep. And I think we'll wrap up anything we want to talk about from the ice fishing show that, you know, we went to.
Yeah, so we might not get to that tactic, but that's our goal. It's good to have a goal.
And sometime out in the future, we're going to talk to the taxidermist.
Yes. Yep, we're going to do that. That's going to happen. So that may pop in there instead. So you just never know, folks. You just never know. Like last show, we had advice from your dad, and I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I know. So, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah,
either.
Who knows? It's like a meandering river. Of ice. So legend, you have a new legend. You have a legend. You've reminded yourself of a legend. I love it. A long lost legend.
It is from the vault. I mean, this
came
is
from the vault.
It came from the vault. You'd think there's still stuff back in there. I don't know. I mean, I remember a few things.
All right, go for it. Yeah. Tell us about
it. Yeah, so this legend, and I thought of it because of the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show that we're going to this weekend. A long time ago, probably, we'll say 10 plus years ago, because, Ole had young children, and I don't think I had children. So we used to go to the ice fishing show every year, and usually we'd go kind of like we're doing this time. It's really, you can't go ice fishing quite yet. And if I could, I just didn't have the opportunity. We'd pack up his kids. And we'd take the stroller and walk the floor, you know, and it's a challenge. I mean, it gets pretty busy there. So pushing a stroller through that mass of people at the ice fishing show, it can be tough.
I have some advice for this, but go on. Later on, I'll tell you my advice.
Okay. But hey, we were at the ice fishing show and we were looking at ice fishing stuff. So
absolutely. No, we used to drag kids everywhere when they're little.
Have you ever been to the River Center, Jay?
No. Uh-uh.
So it's in St. Paul, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have, but the parking ramp is actually built into the bluff on the Mississippi River kind of next to it, and it's really kind of a interesting place. Like, there's a lot of limestone, and there's a road that goes underneath it. I don't know. It's kind of a funky place. Anyways, so this parking ramp that you park in, it has elevators every other floor, right? I'm sure it saved money. So instead of, like, every floor you could get out. You can kind of get out every other floor. And then they have these big ramps, these long ramps that you can go down so you can push a stroller. So if you're on like one floor and you need to go to the next one, you go down the ramp, right?
Uh-huh.
And these ramps, you're indoors and outdoors, you know, it's a parking ramp. So they're really, usually they're snowy. It's pretty dirty, right? Like you would definitely not want to eat anything off the ground. Ollie and I just spent a bunch of time checking out the cool stuff of probably Ice Fishing Show 2005 or something. I don't know how long ago this was. I don't have the exact date, but you know, I'm pushing the stroller and Ollie's walking. I don't know why this is what we were doing, but that's what we were doing. I was pushing the stroller. Maybe it was hard to push. I'm like, man, Ollie, this stroller, it's like super hard to push. And I know there's two kids in it, but they're little toddler kind of kids and it shouldn't be that hard to push. And I thought, well, maybe it's because you kind of use a stroller as a cart some point. You know, you load the blankets and all the junk you pick up at the show, every pamphlet and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, well, maybe it's just heavy. But, you know, I'm going downhill. And I mean, it's just hard to push this thing. It's a beast. We get to the bottom of the hill and I'm like, or to this long ramp, right? And I'm like, Ollie, what is wrong with this stroller? I mean, how come it's so hard to push? Well, one of the kids' blankets had got stuck underneath the wheel.
Uh-huh.
And I had been pushing it this way for a while. I mean, like, I don't know how long, but a while. Long enough where there was a hole in the blanket.
Oh, no.
And like I said, it's super dirty and snowy and gross, right? Like, I mean, you don't want your kid's blanket on this ground.
I would have thrown it away. No, I wouldn't have. You can't throw a kid's blanket away.
Well, that's the thing is this wasn't just like a blanket. This was the blanket.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, oh man, did I feel bad? I felt really bad. Luckily, we got home and they washed it up and, you know, Kathy was able to clean it up and I don't know if they still have it, but you know, it was the blanket. So they still used it long after that. You know, I guess it was a story that it just, the ice fishing show reminded me of. And also that reminded me of like, you know, that's why I like ice fishing too, is it can be a kid sport. I mean, you know, we can take them out and go ice fishing cause they can wander around. So
it absolutely is. And we actually did, a couple years ago, one of our first years, we did an episode on taking kids fishing and kind of some tips that we've learned along the way to do that. So take a listen to that if you have some kids or if you haven't listened to that one. Otherwise, we need to update that. Maybe we need to update a show of like how to get your teenagers fishing, but we could use some advice on that.
Yeah, my teenagers are not interested. When they were eight, they're interested.
Tell them there's free Wi-Fi in the lake.
Ooh,
it might be a lie, but they're there. What are they going to do once they're there? You know, they're there. They're like, oh, it must be broken. That's so sad.
That's sad.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I actually really was kind of happy. I like that story. I'm sure the kids didn't like it at the time.
No,
I think the mom was too impressed either. But
the kids probably didn't care if it had a hole in it, honestly, once it was clean.
No, they didn't care.
So they're usually not too picky at that age about stuff like that.
Yeah.
So very cool. Well, I think we're at the end.
We are at the end. I know.
It's always so sad when we get to the end.
Yep. But it was a great show. And I mean, I really have a good time doing this. So looking forward to getting this out and getting to the next one.
Absolutely. And I appreciate all the listeners. Thank you for tuning in and taking a listen to our ramblings again today, and we'll talk to you all soon. Tight lines.
Cheers.
Bye. You've been listening to the Hard Water Fishing Show with Jeff and Jason.
Say goodbye.
One of the most unique podcasts on the planet, where we talk about tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. We'll be back soon.
Bye-bye.
Till then, signing off.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.